welcome in to another summer edition of Inside the Huddle. We're having fun with these preseason editions of Inside the Huddle, talking to all of the local football coaches as we get ready for high school football action less than a month away. Yesterday was the official 1 month mark, and now we're officially starting the countdown to high school football 2025 season. Kyler, you just spent the day at the Indianapolis Colts training camp. How was that?
It was a fun day. We had a lot of wonderful players come over and say hi. Riley Leonard, DeForest Buckner, and many other players. But I got to tell you, I am very glad to be back in the air conditioning today. There is no way you could ever possibly get me in pads out in the weather we got right now. Holy cow, 100 in the shade? My goodness, man. These guys are sweating bullets and then some.
I don't doubt that. Well, let's get
anniversary to... was good too.
Oh yeah, right? Yeah. I forgot about that. You get your McDonald's
supersized, man. That's all what right. You do for the. That's what you do.
Let's get to our interview for today. Last episode, we caught up with Kurt Schlicker from Clinton Prairie, and today we have Jeremy Fenley from Clinton Central. Coach, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are
wonderful.
We're doing great. Well, last year finished with a 3-7 record, which matched your win total from the previous 2 years combined. So consistently improving is kind of the name of the game. So what are you expecting here going into season number four?
Well, I mean, clearly we're hoping to continue to build off of whatever success we've been able to kind of bring in. Going into year three as a head coach, you make a lot of good coaching decisions and a lot of bad ones, so you hope to like just kind of learn from that. So I think we've cleaned some stuff up from the coaching standpoint, like how we see the game, how we interact in the game. So I feel very optimistic. I think we've got 25 kids on the roster right now. It's probably going to be closer to 30 by the time we play Frankfort week one, I would imagine. The kids, it's our second year going into the offense, consistency, we got all my staffs back but one. So, like, we got coaching consistency for the first time in a long time at Clinton Central, not a high rollover. This is the third year for most of the coaches. A lot of those puppies that were playing as freshmen are now going to be seniors, right? So, like, for the first time in a long time, we're going to have over half of our starters will be seniors. We're trending in the right direction. So we feel very, very blessed to where we're at as a program.
Speaking of seniors, you lost a handful of really key seniors. Of course, Clayton Stevens, Blaine Primo, Daniel Holton, Nate Wells. What has the process been like trying to fill in those gaps?
Well, so I don't know if you know the theme there, but that was basically the entire starting line last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's been the coach's challenge, right? This off season is to figure out. We have no junior lineman and one senior lineman this year.
Wow.
So we're going to be relying a lot on some sophomores and a couple key freshmen. We just had a transfer student going into the freshman year from Lafayette, met with the kid. It's Monday for the first time. His family's going on vacation, but kid's 6'4", 279.
If we could have a couple help. More yeah, like that.
I asked if he's got any brothers.
I was going to say, I don't think
got any cousins?
Kids that are 6'3", 260 are growing on trees over in Michigan town. So.
They are not.
He's going to play whiteout for you then, right?
Yeah. So I will tell you, he reached down and picked up 315 pounds like a suitcase.
Oh, man.
I think your line will be okay then. So,
got Colin Mooneyhan, who played significant last year. He's going to be a sophomore. We got Jordan Wolf, who's going to be our senior leader on the line, all-conference player last year, most improved, huge jump from his sophomore to his junior year, having some equal jumps from a junior to a senior, we've gotten so much faster and stronger over the last 3 years. Like I said, we took the program over, had no kid on the football team could run a sub 540, and now I think last time we maxed out, I think we had 10. So
let's go, doing the work.
So, and we've had three school records have been broken as far as lifting weight. So, like, we have really put that at the forefront of our off-season plan. And again, like anything with kids, right, it's consistency. So we've been consistently doing Coach Gilbert's bigger, faster, stronger workout for just over 2 years now. And, like, we've got huge, huge gains. And then, like, we've got the new weight room. So every weight session has 50-plus kids in there, whether they're That's football awesome. Players or volleyball players or basketball players, swimmer, cross country. I mean, we've got the whole spectrum covered in the weight room. So I think as far as Clinton Central Athletics, I think we're on the precipice of starting to bring back some of those winning ways that we were used to in the 90s and early 2000s.
And we kind of talked about that a little bit at the beginning of last year, is you really started to see that jump in people working out and the power and the speed. So now you have another full off season with that. What has been some differences you've seen this off season?
For you talk about like weight, like just in the weight room?
Yeah.
Or just in general?
A little bit of both.
Well, so here's the thing, right? So when you go from an 0-10 season to a 1-9 or 1-8, because we didn't play week two my second year, and then to a 3-7, right? And then, like, the way we were winning, we had a few, like Clinton Prairie was a good game. You know, that was one of the, I got out coached, right? It was nothing the kids did, you know. Heads off to Coach Slicker. He did a great job there, you know, in the second half. And so confidence has just been slowly building, right? So it's like a locomotive, right? Like, a locomotive isn't known for its, you know, for its 0-60 time. But once you get that dude up to full steam, like, it takes an act of God to stop it. So I feel like that's where we're at right now. I feel like we're just chopping wood every day, and we're filling our furnace, and, you know, we're getting ready to go to team camp. You know, I think the guys are excited to be around each other. You know, the county fair's over. All the distractions of everything, you know, vacations for the most part have been taken. You know, we're a couple weeks out from starting school. Like, everybody's eyes on the prize now. Now it's time to stay focused and locked in.
You must have been talking to Melissa and some of our staff as far as the county fair being over with and everything like that. There were a bunch of people around here that were so excited about the county fair being over with and everything like that. One thing I wanted to ask, as far as the new transfer rules and everything like that, kind of describe that process from the perspective of a head coach. Is it as mind-numbing and as anxiety-filled as what I would think it would be? Because it almost seems as if you could be having a plan as far as where you think you're going to go, and then all of a sudden, boom, you've got a transfer from another school. How are you kind of adjusting to that as far as those new rules? Because to me, I think that would make me want to pull my hair out, just trying to keep things in line as far as what I'm going to use and what's available and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, again, so we talked about this earlier, I think in the spring, about the rule.
Mm-hmm.
So from a beneficiary standpoint, I mean, like I just said, like, we've clearly benefited
definitely,
from a kid,
yeah.
Right? But the reality is the kid was in eighth grade. So, like, the new transfer rule, he doesn't apply to that young man, right? Because he's never played high school. So he's mm-hmm. just coming in as a freshman. You know, that rule isn't as clean cut as everybody thought it was going to be, right? So I don't know how familiar you guys are with the rule, and actually deep dove. Like, we had a great conversation with Robert Falkins, the commissioner of high school football. There's a lot of complexity to that rule. So there's what they call, like, the connection. So if a coach or anyone on your staff or anyone in your building has had any contact or any type of instructional time with a student athlete, like, they still have to sit out 365.
Wow.
So it's not like Coach Finley, who coached some kids at Westfield, can go over and be like, hey, come over to Westfield.
Yeah. Signing bonus and so, you know, like, all that type stuff, right?
You know, there has to be a minimum of a 365-day window from the last time. So I'll give you an example. So, like, if I go and I coach at Bishop Dollahan football camp, and at that camp I'm coaching linebackers, and there's a kid that's in that group that I never actually coach one-on-one, but he's there at a camp that I'm giving instruction to. He transfers to Clinton Central. Well, now he has to sit out.
Wow.
Because he has been exposed to...
Not even making eye contact or anything like that. Wow, okay.
So there are some nuances to this new rule.
That's a big nuance, I would say.
Yeah. And trust me, all the head coaches, when he starts putting this out there, was like, and I mean, it doesn't even have to be football. Like, mm-hmm. if a kid got coached basketball,
wow,
and then comes to Clinton Central to play football, well, if our head basketball coach coached him at any point, anybody in your building.
Wow. That is, and I'm sure that's a self-report process.
Yeah, so it's, it's, you know, like, nobody's going to be, you may have someone at Carmel or mm-hmm. Westfield or Brownsburg, like, where they're big time and, you know, like, people are, like, yes, I don't think anybody's going to come to Clinton Central.
You never know.
That is a fact. But you know what I mean? But yes,
absolutely.
But again, that was never part of the rule that the coaches, like when this initial was pushed out, like, hey, you got to your junior year, you can always go back. Like, but it's just like when you buy a car, right? Like, the sticker price looks great till you get down to the fine print, yeah. And it's, you know, default on one payment. You know what I mean? Like, there's all this fine print. So, again, when it comes to the transfer stuff, I feel personally that if a kid feels invested in and they feel like they matter, the family feels like they matter, then especially in a small school, right? Like, these kids aren't out chasing NIL deals. You know what I mean? Like, most of these kids, you know, like, we had every single one of our seniors is going on from last year to play ball at the next level.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? So, like, these kids just want to play football. Like, they're not looking to try to score, you know, and then who knows what happens down the road. But, like, I feel like we've got a great culture. The kids respect us. We respect the kids, the families, the administration. Everybody's all on the same sheet. So,
And it's interesting that you use the word investment, because you've got brand new facilities at the school. The basketball court is getting a total revamp, complete revamp. And based off of the plans that I've seen, it's going to look just spectacular. And you talked about the weight room. What does that add to the culture? I mean, yeah, it's new equipment and everything like that, but what does that do mentally, not just to the coaching staff, but also to the kids who are going in there every single day and enjoying all this great investment from the school and the community at large?
Well, let me ask you this. As a kid, when you had to wear your siblings' hand-me-downs, how did that make you feel?
I'm going to call my brother in St. Louis, because he was a younger one. Yeah,
were
absolutely.
You warm and were you covered? Absolutely. But to get your own stuff, to get stuff that is defined by your generation, mm-hmm. like, that's altering, right? So, like, we had the old weight room, you could barely get 15 kids in there. As soon as we open up the new weight room, like we now offer a full weights class that I teach, so now I have 5 periods of weights. Last year we could barely fill 2.
Wow.
Right, we had to increase it to 5. So, like, that type of stuff, kids just want to feel like they're being invested in and want to know that their opinion matters, right? Like, so we had a student, we had a council, like, when we rebranded and all that stuff, like, students, alumni, like, we brought in everybody, and it was a community-driven event. And so, like, it's the same way. You know, we're naming the basketball court after Coach Barnett. Phenomenal Bulldog. Like, spent her entire life.
Indiana Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Bleeding green and white. You know, so now, that's just a great connection between this generation and the past. So we're continuing to do that. And I just, again, I think that, you know, like we were happy with just playing football, right? But, like, nowadays, like, you got to be able to add a little bit of flair and swag. You know, like, there's just things that kids aren't going to just get off the couch nowadays to go play football. Right, like, they want to feel that they're invested in, that what they're doing matters, and, you know, and by God, they want to look good doing it.
And that new video board that came into fruition last year was pretty big, and you've got a young man here that is carrying around a pretty nice piece of what looks to be WWE hardware and everything like that, too. So that would get me excited and get off the couch as well.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we went to the Green Helmets last year,
mm-hmm.
right? And so it's something as small as, so I don't know how familiar you are with football equipment, but everybody wants a SpeedFlex helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the,
yep.
Well, we went out and we spent the money and bought 45 brand new SpeedFlexes, so every kid in our program gets a SpeedFlex, right? Like, we're looking to buy all of our linemen special helmets that are designed for linemen. That got, like, I don't know if you knew Bane is from Batman.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's got, like, the, oh, they got the Bane okay. face mask, yep. so, like, trench warfare.
I
so
was
like,
born in the darkness.
There you go. So, like, those guys, like, when you can do things like that,
yeah,
you know, they just, they resonate and they connect. You know, we're going to go all black out this year, so we're, for the first time, we're going to have black top and bottom.
Oh, nice. That'll be cool. So, that'll look great.
So we've, you know, and great supporters. You know, we do one fundraiser every year, and we're able to raise the money we do for everything we want to buy uniforms. And, you know, next week I'm actually leaving here to go pick up Coach Douglas, and we're going to go. So every summer we close out summer with team camp at Hanging Rock Christian Church over in East Lebanon, I think is what it is, or West Lebanon, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, again, it just goes back to that team building culture, just hoping that – all these little things that we can do, you know, just inspires and creates kids of, you know, of good character and just want to go out and create changes.
Who are some guys that are stepping up so far through the first little bit as kind of the leaders of the team that are taking a more leadership position in the team this year?
Well, I will tell you, so we have five great seniors, and they have all kind of taken this team and put it on their shoulders. So we got Creed Menon, Elijah Gunderson, Amron Barrett, Levi Jacobs, and Jordan Wolf are our five seniors as it stands right now. And this is truly their team. Like, we had a meeting, you know, throughout the summer. We run two conditioning periods. The seniors asked if they could run conditioning one at practice. So they took some ownership on just making sure that their teammates are getting ready for Friday night. So, you know, they have meetings with their guys, you know, all of them have kind of taken their leadership to the next level, which is a testament to the coaching staff and guys like Clayton Stevens and those guys who came before, right? So, like, when I first got there, it was apparent that there was no peer leadership. It was, for lack of a better term, like the blind leading the blind, right? Like, things had just, you know, with the sudden diagnosis of Coach Gilbert and then just how that kind of snowballed, and then you know, Coach Rosa coming in and doing the best he could kind of in those circumstances, just things just never really clicked. Like, this thing's just never really transformed into an environment to where upperclassmen could lead, because they were always learning, right? Like, you have all of that repetitive rollover, like, kids have got to learn to be leaders, but if they're busy learning X's and O's and the new coaching staff and how are we supposed to do this, and, like, you can never focus on the getting down in the weeds and being a good leader. So I think just being able to have good, consistent coaches has helped our seniors. And, like, I don't have to say anything. Like, this is kind of the first year, like, if we're slacking off at practice, like, they know it. Like, and they address it. They take care of any small issues at practice or whatever that need in the weight room. Like, everybody comes in, like, gets focused. And it's really been senior driven. But out of that core group, I think Creed Menon and Amron are going to be really good vocal leaders. Again, all of them are great. You know, Jordan Wolf is more of a lead by example type guy, right? Like, I don't know if you're going to get a whole lot of rah rah. But he's like the guy that comes in, puts his helmet on, puts his lunch pail away, and just kind of goes and does his job. And that's kind of what you want in your senior lineman, right? Like, he's just got to understand that there's not too many bylines that start off outstanding line play. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the reality of it, right? So, like, but at the end of the day, when you get down to those articles, like, it talks about, you know, senior linemen doing this, when they were able to do that. So, you know, we've got some great juniors coming up. Keaton and Kyson Allball are going to be huge for us this year. Like, those two young men, and Luke Shelley is the third. Like, I've been super high on those guys since I started as the defensive coordinator, you know, 3 years ago, sitting back there on scout defense with those guys just to see, you know, how they've went from barely weighing 100 pounds to, you know, 130, 140, running 4.740s, like, being able to get in there and do things. So, you know, I mentioned Colin Mooneyhan earlier. Like, the kid is just a monster, you know. goes into the weight room and just basically lifts the weight room. You know, and then we've got Caleb Griffey, who's going to be a sophomore, who's going to be our starting inside linebacker. You know, really great wrestler, has that one-on-one, I'm going to kick your butt mentality, something you need in your Mike linebacker. So like I said, we're going to be all right.
One thing in particular, not to look too far ahead, because first practice with pads starts very, very soon with school starting and everything, but August 22nd, Frankfort travels to Clinton Central. It's first game of the season. It's also the game of the week on HoosierlandTV.com. So Sam and I are going to be there.
Nice.
What are you looking forward to the most in terms of not just going up against the Hot Dogs, going up against a brand new coach, but just starting the season overall? What are you looking forward to the most, especially with that game going against the Hot Dogs?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, that's been a rival for decades, right? It was a rival when I played, just an inter-county rivalry, right? Like, at any flip of the coin, that kid could go to Clinton Central or he could go to Frankfort, right? So, like, mm-hmm. What does that really mean? You know, it's like the Civil War, right? Like, brother versus brother, you know, family. I mean, like, a lot of our kids have cousins or whatever. But what I'm really looking forward to is just getting back out with the community. You know, we've got such great community support, you know, through the off seasons and all the things we do. And we've never gone wanting for things that the kids need. You know, so it's always great to get out, first of all, and provide a environment to where the community can come out and feel safe and fellowship with each other and talk about, you know, the Gridiron Dreams and Friday Night Lights. I just really love that. Like, I love the walk out to the field before the game with the guys, and you could just feel that adrenaline start to rise, and, you know, and as we come onto the field and they start to form the tunnel, and all of the summer's hard work, you know, starts to be visualized and starts to come alive, you know. And then just, you know, this could possibly be Coach Douglas's last year. You know, he was my coach 30 years ago. So, like, we've just, you know, there's just a lot of special, you know, Blaine Barrett and I graduated together. His son's a senior. I don't know if he comes back after this, you know, because he's a pretty busy guy, you know.
Just a little bit, yeah.
So, you know, like, I don't want to take any of those moments for granted, you know. You know, my son transitions into high school next year. We don't know what that looks like. So just kind of enjoying his last junior high season. Before it becomes, for lack of a better phrase, a business. You know, so just the purity of the game on Fridays. You know, those are the things that we love, watching the cheerleaders support our team, the band. Like, it's just a great environment, you know, and we're starting kind of doing things a little bit different. So senior night will be our first game against Frankfort. And we do that because, you know, eventually we're going to be competing for conference titles or whatever. So what you don't want to do is go late into the season and then run a chance that you wait till the last home game and you may not be able to get everybody into situations they want to be in. So, you know, we're going to start celebrating our seniors week one. That way they have a whole season of celebration, mm-hmm. not just the last game of the year, and who knows how things have turned out at that point. So it's a lot of optimism. You know, and then we'll go into the Frankfort game, and I can relate to their new coach. Like, I have been there, you know, so I get it. Wish him nothing but the best of luck, except for week one, you know. You know, and that's what's a good thing about football coaches, right? Like, we are all a very supportive community, you know. Even though, like, we all like to win. You know, we also like to, like, I love nothing more than to see county teams be successful. You know, like, Clinton Prairie, across the spectrum this year, had a great, or last year, I guess, had a great basketball season, and then they had a great baseball season. So, like, they just, you know, you can't help but root for county teams because that just brings more exposure to Clinton County. So, you know, we're hoping to eventually get on that train and and bring some good media stuff to the county.
Well, mm-hmm. That's one thing that I've always appreciated about coaches at all levels. You've got two teams going at it. You've got two coaches that are wanting to win, wanting to put their kids in the best situation. But at the end of the game, coaches come together, shake hands, and they do it in a calm fashion and everything like that. So to me, I think that's one of the beauties of sport is you've got both schools who, you know, like you said, it's a civil war in many cases, but at the end of the day, you know, we're all supporting each other because we their success is good for the county and it's good for everybody, because looking at this conference this year, it's a pretty tough conference.
Yes.
I mean, there aren't too many weeks off in the Hoosier Heartland Conference this year.
What do we have? We had, what, at least three sectional champions last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I mean, it goes to show you, right, any given Friday, like, look at Taylor. Rob is doing phenomenal with the Titans,
oh,
right?
Oh, my
like,
gosh, yes,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? But, like,
mm-hmm.
We can't get out of our own way playing Sheridan, get beat breaks off of us. Well, then we play, you know, the Titans, and it's the opposite of that. We have a really good night, but then, you know, so, like, any given Friday, like this conference, you know, like Betzner's doing phenomenal in Carroll, right?
Yeah.
Like Carroll just seems to be like creating a football machine over there, you know, and Coach Slicker at Prairie, like it just, Eastern is always going to be tough. You know, it's just Delphi is one of those rivals, you know, to where you just, it's, we got a really good conference, and there's really a lot of history here, right? So when you look at some of these powerhouse conferences in 6A football, like there's not a whole lot of history there, right? Because 6A's not even been around that long. But like when you look at like our conference, like I played in our conference, and it was pretty much the same schools 30 years ago that are still a part of this conference. So I think we lost Delphi for a while, and then they came back into the fold, right? Like at one point we had Frontier. Like when I coached here the first time, like there was so many teams in this conference, we had to split it. So, you know, so like, it is what it is. But week in and week out, like I think our conference, especially when it comes to single A football, can compete with any conference out there.
Most definitely.
Well, I want to talk. We talked about it a little bit already, but I kind of want to hit this up again, because just looking at the statistics over the last couple of years, 2 years or the year before you, 5.4 points per game. First year, 9.8 points per game. Last year, boom, to 25.5 points per game. And you kind of talked about first year in the offense, and you finally start to get a hang of things. How do you sustain that this year? Because you talked about we're losing a lot of the offensive line, lose Clayton Stevens, who ran things at quarterback for you last year. So how do you continue to build on that this year?
Well, so that's kind of a skewed statistic, right? So, like, we scored 6 or 7 defensive touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Right? So which is why that, like, kind of the belt, you know, that's kind of the havoc thing, right? So, like, we know in order for us to even come close to being matching or being more successful than we were last year, our defense has got to step it up even more, right? So, like, when our defense was on, by God, we were hard to beat, and we were playing. You know, we just got to be more consistent, you know, and kudos to our offensive staff, right? Coach Douglas and Coach Robinson, Coach Barrett, Coach Griffey, those guys, like, they meet year-round. Like, we go to symposiums all year. We travel. You know, so there is a lot of thought that goes into how do we maintain this offense and do it. You know, so, like, I think – Creed and Amron, those guys, and Levi and Elijah, like this is going to be their second year going into, or third year going into this offense. So, second year going into this offense, or third year total. So, like, Creed now runs the offense. So, like, last year, with as fabulous as Clayton was, right, like, they were still kind of waiting to get information, right? So now, Creed is able to process information on the field and make changes and do things as he sees fit, which I think is going to be a good good wrinkle for us this year is the ability for him to read and make adjustments on the line as he sees fit.
Any calls of Omaha or anything like that, or any pointing at the defenders or anything like that?
Not that I have seen, but I know Coach Douglas and those guys, they tend to have some things that they keep close to their chest and don't want to get out there too much.
Group chat on Sundays and Saturdays for college football and pro football, right? Between
well,
the coaches?
So we for sure college.
Yeah.
We don't, at least for my staff, like we don't watch a whole lot of NFL. But college football for sure. Saturdays is, so, you know, like I'm a huge Army fan. So, like, I'm constantly watching Army football and, you know, how they run their option and everything. So, like, their defense, you know, so I'm constantly, hey, did you guys see, you know, the fourth quarter first play of the LSU game or whatever, like, how that safety came down in the box. Like, that's how we need Creed to be. Like, that's, like, we need to get a snapshot of this and put it on huddle so, like, we can walk through this. And so, yeah, so, like, we're, you know, and I've got some great young coaches. You know, we just promoted Dane Crenshaw, who played at Clinton Central, played at Anderson. He was a defensive line coach for our junior high. We moved him up to the high school. You know, Dylan Shelley is going to be our defensive coordinator this year. He played at Frankfort. Brothers Luke. You know, so we've got a lot of good coaches. And, yeah, so, like, we're constantly talking about football and just scheme and personnel and, you know, so it's good. Cool.
All business, no memes in that group chat right?
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, okay.
it's definitely PG-13 sometimes. Oh, in there.
I had to ask that.
How do you set up goals throughout the season for your team, and how do you walk with, okay, this is the kind of team we want to be in? And a lot of teams talk about number of wins and, you know, conference titles and sectional titles. What does it look like for you and your squad? How do you set up those goals for the season?
Well, so goal setting for me is kind of like I modeled after fast food, right? So, like, why is fast food so successful in our country? Because we want stuff and we want it right now. We don't like to wait for it, right? So we have goals like that, but, like, those aren't goals that we talk about in team meetings, right? It's, hey, when we're watching this film, we're going to play for a perfect snap. If we can get all 11 guys for one play to do exactly what they're supposed to, what does that look like? Like, that's the kind of goals we set. Like, hey, can we get everybody in the damn team meeting on time? If we can get everybody seated and ready to go, then, well, and we praise that, right? So, like,
yeah,
it's,
man, that's a victory in and of itself.
You know, and then, like, you know, and then showing those guys that they're invested in, right? Like, hey, we want to run conditioning. Okay, well, the goal is, like, you know, the standard is a standard, so, like, you, like, we're not going to compromise that. So now they're getting tenfold, right? They're learning leadership and coaching, right? Like, there's been times where they've been like, man, that's not as easy as we thought to have a conditioning session go for 20 minutes and not have everybody killed in two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, like, when you've got the skill guys trying to do what the big boys are doing, like, sometimes, like, that doesn't compare. So, you know, we have defensive goals and offensive goals and game goals and things that we want to do. You know, like, you know, personally, I would love to be able to win the county. Like, that's kind of been my personal, you know, I don't push that, you know what I mean? But, like, there are, and I think everybody kind of has, like, their goals. The problem is, when you set out and you make goals so finite and you miss a benchmark, then the whole house comes down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So, like, when you have a kid who's like, God, I want to graduate with a 4.0 GPA. Well, their first test their freshman year, they get a B. Now they lose sight of everything, and then it just kind of falls around them, right? So, like, we like to keep it small, talk about in the moment. How do we get better the next play, the next series, the next quarter? You know, it's like habit stacking, right? Like, you can goal stack, right? So, like, just think about it. If you can execute an entire game of perfect plays, the odds are you winning are going to be pretty good, right? And then if you can put together a perfect game, like, how then can you do a perfect series? Like, there's just a lot of things that go along with goal setting. And I love goal setting. I think sometimes we look at it too broadly. And then there's too many avenues for failure with one aspect of the goal. So,
oh, are you coming to me? No, I'm sorry. Sorry about it. We'll edit that out and everything like that. You mentioned the belt, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a WWE fan or anything, but kind of describe this belt that you've brought in with you today, because I think this is something that a lot of people, you know, don't really get to see too often until game day. And then it's kind of like, what are they doing with that belt? What are they doing with that chain? So kind of to describe this belt that you brought in today.
So when I first, my first coached here under Isaac Sturgis, we had like the takeaway belt. And so we still had that, but it was an old, it was heavy. It was like an old weight belt that had been converted. It had like fur. Like it was,
oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, it was, you know, and it weighed about 100 pounds. Like, so the concept was amazing. The execution was not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we gave it to a player the first year, and, like, he can barely carry it up the bleachers. Like, it's, like, dragging on the ground like Linus's blanket.
Like, it was a punishment more than anything.
And I felt like that's almost like the guy's like, dude, don't give that thing to me this week. So we kind of put that on the shelf. And then, you know, then we had last year. We didn't really do anything. And then just kind of looking back, I'm like, gosh, man, like, we just – I always felt like that was what was great about Westfield, right? Like, we had, like, these individual awards and team awards, and there was just – we were always praising our players, right? And so we went back to the belt idea. Obviously got one that's much smaller, a little bit better made. But this particular belt is – so we're going to have a Havoc Player of the Week on defense, right? So, like, we kind of talked about because we kind of know where we're at personnel-wise. Like, everybody's got to step up, and our defense – has got to probably be the backbone of our team this year, at least early on, until we kind of find our feet and see what that looks like. Got the belt. The belt itself is pretty standard WWE, whatever, WDF, whatever the term they're using now. But it has our team motto. It says, no juice, no use, right? Like, that's just kind of what our thing is with the energy. So when we rebranded, one of the questions that was posed us as a committee was, like, when you think of a Clinton Central student, alumni, administrator, teacher, like, what one word could best describe? Well, you know, then, of course, you know, there was everything thrown out there. Well, then we had kind of settled on driven, right? Like, everybody is driven. Like, we are out there, you know, relentlessly focused to accomplish a mission. So that is on here because that's kind of what drives our school, is being a bunch of driven individuals. And then every year, we have a team motto. Last year happened to be driven. This year it's discipline. In order for us to take that next step, we got to be disciplined in the classroom. We got to be disciplined at home. We got to be disciplined on the field, at practice, in all aspects of our life. So that is on here too. And then on the wings, it's got the new Bulldog logo, and then the standard is the standard, and the other side says it takes what it takes. You know, those are things that I say consistently that our boys know, right? Like, once we've decided and a standard is established, then that is now the standard. It is, we don't compromise. And sometimes that standard is a pain in the butt, and it's going to take what it takes to get there. So that's kind of what the belt is, you know. And then we're going to have three sledgehammers, one for each phase of the game. So we're going to have a hammer hit for special teams, offense, and defense. Coach Douglas is in the process of generating what the awards would look like. Weekly awards for offense, because I think we're going to have a line award and a skilled award. It's a little bit different on offense than defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited to get the belt out there and get it going.
And if a student is still interested in playing football, just contact you at the school or
absolutely. And again, you know, so this is where the old coach in me kind of has to learn the new style, right? So for years it was be there or be square, right? Like, you had to do X, Y, and Z. Well, life's changed, right? Like, families are different. Things, everybody has situations in their lives, right? So, like, what I don't want to do, I just always feel a kid's always going to be better with me than out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you can come be a part of our program and be a part of our family, now that'll come with conditions, right? Like, it's not just a free-floating door, but we'll take kids. Like, we want kids to come and be a part of our family, whether it's, like, I've got kids coming that just want to run the drone, or they want to film, or they want to be a manager or a student trainer. You know, so when you look, like, we talked about the team only being 25, but when you look at, like, the total student support, like, we're over 35 by the time it gets going, you know. So then when you look at a school our size, 35 people out of a school of 200 and something, like, you're almost at 25% of the school is just influenced by the football team and the decisions and the things that my staff does. So we feel pretty good about that. We feel great when you have people want to come and seek you out to be a part of what you have going on.
Well, the first game is less than a month away, August 22nd. The first Inside the Huddle, official Inside the Huddle, is going to be the day after, August 23rd. And we'll start Inside the Huddle on the 16th with a replay of some of these preseason specials. And then we get to action on the 22nd and 23rd. And I'm sure you're just as excited as we are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so again, like, you know, we leave for team camp next week. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Like, this summer, it seems like it's gone by faster than any summer that I've been a part of. And, June went by, and then you're like, okay, we got moratorium. Well, and then next thing you know, like, boom, you're in July. You got your scrimmage. You know, they mandated a second moratorium. So, you know, now we're back in full swing, and it's like, you know, you're still governed by those 12 padded practices right now until school starts, right? So, like, we've been fortunate to kind of be smart with those and bank those. So, like, we can still kind of do some things here. You know, and then we got our Burma Road, which is our huge end of summer circuit, if you want to call it. But then we'll leave for team camp and come back and get ready to get after it.
Well, if the excitement at camp is anything like it was at the fair, there were a couple of showmen and show ladies who were wearing Clinton Central No Juice, No Use when they were showing their goats and the cattle and everything like that, too. So it's spreading, man. So
yeah, it's pretty good. My first year there, the student class or the senior class made that their class motto.
That's awesome.
So that's even better.
It goes back to consistency and feeling invested in, right? So, like, I have always felt that, for as cheesy as it is, when you have an organization that has a hook line, right, something that as soon as you hear it, right, when you hear hook 'em, right, you automatically think of Texas, right? There's just things that, you know, like Who Day, right? You know, like, there are just things that that as soon as you hear it, it's synonymous with an organization, you know? And, like, I feel like that's us now. Like, it started with the football team, right? And then our cheerleaders kind of did it. And now, like, volleyball, like, a lot of teams are picking it up. And I love that, right? Because now it gives you a unity. Like, you know, I always thought one of the greatest things that Jeff Munkin said when he took over Army, you know, he said, we need to change the philosophy from playing at Army to playing for Army, right? And I think that's kind of where we're getting back to at Clinton Central, right? Like, we play for Clinton Central. We don't play at Clinton Central.
Yeah.
Which is huge. When a kid feels that they are fighting for something, then the outcome tends to be a little better.
Well, that will do it for this Inside the Huddle preseason special. You can listen to these episodes on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com under the Inside the Huddle tab, or now on Spotify under Inside the Huddle and Casper Media, and we'll share that out on X. You can follow us on X, and we'll share all that information as we kind of count down to the start of football season. This has been Head Coach Jeremy Fenley with Clinton Central. Coach, thanks for coming in today.
Absolutely. No juice, no use.
There we go. For Kyle Etherington, I'm Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.